Hey, it's Jeff and Ben. He's out there somewhere checking out the precursor to the eclipse. It is April 8th. We've recorded this episode, Eclipse Day. And I had to drag him in from the sun gazing. Or as we could say, April 8th is National Burn Your Retina Day, unless you're properly equipped with eclipse glasses.
I never put these on. You can't see a thing in here.
Oh, really?
Let me try. You can't. They're my glasses.
Well, give them right back. We have the whole Lancaster world watching us.
Don't break them. Yeah, you can't see a thing with them on.
My big head.
Which I guess makes sense if they're supposed to filter out light.
That's why they say you'll burn your retina if you stare at the sun. Because yes, you
can't see a thing.
You have to go like that.
I'm glad I put them on in advance.
Yes. So April 8th, it is like National Eclipse Day. It's all the news, which is nice. It's nice that it's news that's about our world and about our solar system and not about the latest. They said this and those people did that and the negative thing. It's nice.
Well, and kids are excited about it. Like, yeah, they've never seen anything like this. My 9-year-old, he was like all excited to like come home school early neighbor's going to pick him up from school and they're going to watch the eclipse together. And he's super excited about it.
Yeah. He's going to keep his glasses on.
I instructed him. Actually, the school is providing these glasses.
I saw that. I saw a lot of schools cool. Yeah. It's very cool. Yeah. So don't burn your retina out. Okay. Don't even tempt yourself for a second.
Yeah. Like, don't even try to squint. Right. Like,
I know there's a thing you can do with a box. I'm a big fan of the Mad Men series from AMC. And I know there was an episode there where all the kids were out with the school teacher and there was a box and you.
Like a cereal box or something.
Yeah.
Like
you can make a box and look. And I guess there's holes and a piece of tinfoil or a mirror or something. And
right.
It's very MacGyver-like, or you can just have the glasses. So, but don't stare at the sun. It's going to be fun. I had a doctor's appointment today, and the doctor said, hey, this is a little self-serving. Could we move our appointment up? I forgot it's eclipse day. And I love my doctor.
The sun or Jeff's health?
Well, quite frankly, I was happy to move it up because we wouldn't have had to rush the show.
That's true.
And I really didn't want to be out driving amongst the populace.
This is true.
With a once in 40 some year event, because you know people might be driving and
right. I saw a headline somewhere that said like, "Don't stop on the side of the road," because that's what everybody's going to want to do, right? But that's kind of dangerous.
So yes. So the moral of our open is: be safe, enjoy the eclipse. I almost said apocalypse.
Some people feel that's going to happen too.
I know. It's like this is a normal thing. Yeah, you know, like every week or so, there's a different sliver of the moon showing that shows our solar system is working. So I don't know. We'll see.
Enjoy the apocalypse.
Maybe they'll be saying, I told you so. I don't know. Either way, enjoy the eclipse today. It's fun when we can all gather around a fun moment as a community, maybe as a state or as a nation. So look, partial eclipse. Lasts about 3 to 4 minutes, but the entire process goes from 2:06 to 4:34 p.m. Hey, we're kicking it off. Yeah. It's starting now. You can spend the run up with us.
Let's go.
We love it. Well, and before we get too much further and before we welcome on our wonderful guest, it is a monument this day. It is a monument this week because for the first time here, in Gardner's Mattress and More history, we're going to email out later today, but you get to hear it first as our Lancaster Connects listeners. We've got a bunch of floor models to turn over. And so you get a tremendous opportunity to get a luxury, incredible mattress at what would be considered a discount or a budget price. And so here's an example, a Split King Tempur-Pedic mattress set. We've got two of those left in Split King. So this is where you get your side and your partner gets the other. We're going to sell those for $1,500 for the pair.
And normally, are you sure about that?
Well, I just said it, so I have to be sure about it. It's just time to go.
That's super, super low.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that this is normally a $4,500 value, yep. Maybe a little more.
Yep.
We've got some kings that were going to be like $5,000 to $55,000. They're going to be $2,000. So savings like that, when we say it, we mean it. It's going on. It's literally like a once in 13 years in these four walls that we've done that.
First come, first sold.
Yeah, get your pick and get your choice. And you don't even have to wear silly glasses to do it.
Mm-hmm.
just come on and visit. We're going to do that all this week, today through Friday. And then it's gone.
Because there's only two there.
Well, there's more. There's more floor models to save. There's other great deals. But I wanted to highlight those two because A, it's a name most people know. And B, they understand it's an investment. Tempur-Pedic's an investment in your sleep. It's a quality product. We know that. We have customers here that are on their third and fourth Tempur-Pedic because they've loved it. They've grown with it.
Very true.
And so we've got amazing deals like that all this week because it's Eclipse Week.
It is Eclipse Week.
But it's also Sokka. Sokka's third episode with us. We have a new representative from Sokka, which is the Spanish American Civic Association.
Yes, you are correct.
I should have dubbed them. Yeah. I'm glad I had that right.
Did you just have a Kramer moment? Giddy up?
That's right. We'll be doing Seinfeld on each other all day. So without too much further ado, let's welcome Sandra Valdez from Sokka.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ben and Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. And sure enough, make sure you wear those glasses if you go out there during that eclipse.
Yeah. You're literally staring at a nuclear explosion suspended in space. So don't damage your eyeballs, please. We don't want that.
You know, the funny thing is the sun is there all the time, right? You just know to not look at it. But I guess because this is happening, it's a unique thing to want to look at it. But the sun is there 24/7, right? It's fun to look at it regardless.
Well, wait. Okay, hold time out. Sandra, can we take a moment and ask Ben where Ben thinks the sun goes at night? Are you a flat earther, Ben?
Might be. My goodness, I'm a new shade of red.
Where does the sun go at night, Ben?
We're not going to talk.
Does the man in the moon tuck it in for bed? Sandra, where do you think the sun goes?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, where does the sun goes? Well, actually, you know, the moon and... I don't know. You tell us, Ben, because you were the one that indicated that it touched me before.
I think we need to dig into the Hispanic American Civic Association. Sandra, can you tell us about Sokka? Just to kind of recap, in case our listeners and watchers haven't seen one of our Sokka episodes before, tell us what the Spanish American Civic Association is and what they do.
Well, thank you so much again. We are a nonprofit organization who's been in existence for 51 years starting this year. We celebrated our 50 years back in 2023, and we're here to serve our community who are in need, particularly the individuals who are underserved, marginalized, and we try to make sure that we are providing adequate services, everything from human services to behavioral health, drug and alcohol. We also have our workforce development program, which I'm sure you kind of shared earlier of the prior guest on your program. And we also have Sokka Development Corporation, which is a housing program helping individuals to be able to become who are low income to become first-time home buyers. And then we also have our radio station broadcasting side, who also does 24-hour airing on Lancaster and York. And of course, our community meals program, which is what I'm here to discuss a little bit more today. But we pretty much are here to ensure that we are able to provide adequate services. Most people link Sokka as an organization that serves only Latinos, but I do want to kind of reiterate, which I'm sure my other coworkers have done, is that we serve everyone who needs our services, not only Latinos.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to touch on that. And actually, you know, your imagery kind of shows that you serve everyone who may be marginalized. And so you began as one way, you know, with a focus, and we expand out and we help everybody, which is great. Right. Yes. So
yeah, absolutely.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. And so tell us a little bit more about the community meals program. Who do you serve and who is welcome? And maybe share some circumstances in which people might come across your table and can have a meal with you.
Sure. So our community meals program at Sokka has been probably in operation about 25 years. And in these years, originally our program started to serve those individuals who were homeless, who did not have a meal. We run a senior citizen program sponsored by the Office of the Aging of Lancaster County. And by individuals coming to our facility and seeing a group of seniors congregating in our area and eating there, we started identifying that there was a need for individuals to have a hot meal. So within our SACA program, we implemented this about 25 years ago, where we connected with different resources in our community, financial resource, food bank to provide food, and then, of course, employees that are able to prepare these meals on a daily basis. These are hot meals that prepare daily. We serve lunch and dinner to our community, and these are individuals who have food insecurity but are also homeless. So we went from being serving a population that is strictly only homeless to continue to do that today, but also knowing that these numbers have increased drastically compared to 25 years ago, but also to individuals who have food insecurity, families that cannot put a hot meal on their table or put three meals on their table, particularly now in the summer as we're getting to these hot, warm days. Spring break, we understand that our children are more at home and then parents need to prepare more meals that they're not getting because they're not in school. So it makes it a lot difficult for these individuals to be able to attain or put a hot meal on the table. But our focus is predominantly homeless, to the homeless population. And we try to make sure that we also have other resources, since we don't necessarily provide breakfast to them, that we're able to connect them to other, either food pantries or other soup kitchens in our area where they can actually also have that meal. And then, of course, not many individuals open for dinner. So SACA provides his meals Monday through Friday, lunch 12 to 1. Dinner 4 to 5. And then on Saturdays, we provide lunch only from 12 to 1. So we know and understand the individual. Everybody should have a plate of meal every single day and let alone have three. But not many people have the luxury to be able to have three meals a day.
Yeah. Maybe you know the answer to this, and it's okay if you don't, but there's yourself with SACA and the Community Meals Program. I believe... Is it true when I say there's maybe three or four other outfits that are serving at least two meals a day to those with food insecurity, homelessness, or just need a supplement in their daily meal plan? Is there three or four other agencies in the city helping in that same endeavor?
Yes, there's a couple of them, because we have them in the city. There's about two additional, but in county-wise, we have several that try to be that supplemental for the families, individuals in need. But yes, there's several different organizations working together to ensure that those who need a meal can obtain it. That is good.
And so if you're not in the city and you're not local to yourself, but you're maybe out in the county, how would you become aware of where you can connect to a Community Meals Program? You know, that's your name and title of your program, but where would people go? Could they reach out to you and you could refer, or do they call somewhere else? Is it Lancaster City Alliance?
Good question. They can come to us. They can either come to us or call us, and we definitely provide a list of the different organizations in our county that provides meal. However, even calling 211. 211 is a resource through United Way that can also provide a list of all the different soup kitchens or the pantries. So there's many different ways that an individual can actually obtain that information, or even organizations that are providing social services. Those caseworkers, case managers can contact 211, SACA, the Pennsylvania Central Food Bank. They all have a list of individuals and organizations who are providing these meals to individuals for free.
So if somebody is in need of a meal, do they just show up at a location? Can they come every day? And is there a delivery program for somebody that might not be able to come in person?
At SACA, all of our meals is in person. During COVID, well, of course, many people got kind of accustomed to the grab and go. However, we're very blessed that we're able to bring individuals back into our facility, not only for food, but also have camaraderie to be able to socialize with other individuals outside of the rain, from the snow and whatnot, the cold weather. But our at Saka, we do provide dine-in for anyone who comes into our meals program, and also has an opportunity that if any social services, human services, that we're able to also help them with those particular needs or link them to the organizations in our community. There are other organizations in our community that not necessarily, they do have a time frame of when they deliver the foods or when they have dine-in time. And there's still places that are still grab and go. So it's important to communicate with, you know, again, the organization, myself, or 211 to obtain that information. The detail is most up to date. The Hunger Free Lancaster County also has a listing of all the agencies who do participate in providing meals to the community. So that's another resource that individuals can also communicate with.
Yeah. Yeah. So a question off of our plan questions. I was just reading this morning on the Lancaster subreddit. So there's, if you're familiar with the Reddit site, it's kind of like social media, but not really. But there's a Lancaster subreddit, and there was a thread in there about where the homeless go. And you know, they seem to, it seems that homeless populations kind of get moved around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so from your view, how can we best help those folks? And what do you see? Because you're there every day. This is part of your chief focus of effort and energy. How can we best help this, the issue of homelessness?
I think it's meeting the individuals where they're at. Homelessness, some individuals we've come across that we serve are individuals that actually have chosen to be homeless for whatever reasons. And those others that have no choice at this point and are seeking help, but do not know how to seek that help or where to go. And that's one of the additional services that we can offer our community, is that while they're having a meal, if they need additional resources, we try to help them while they're there. We meet them where they're at. But there are individuals who basically are okay where they're at. Their style of living is fine with them. And it's just providing resources. I think that's the most important thing, is really understanding that, the individuals may not be ready to be housed or do not know how to be housed. You know, they do have a place. If we continue to disperse individuals that are homeless around the city and county, we're not necessarily helping the individual. I think it's a matter of having that conversation with the individuals and seeing where they're at, what is their goal, do they have a goal, what's their goal for housing or their insecurity. And then meet them where they're at. I know mental health is one of the biggest concerns among individuals who are homeless. And unfortunately, you know, that is a need across the nation. And if we, you know, tackle the mental health and the need of therapists and group sessions and psychiatrists, and the more of that we have, then we're better capable to help the individuals in need. Unfortunately, there's a shortage, and with the shortage, then it makes it difficult for the individuals to be able to receive services. So I think it's pretty coming together in many different directions, and being able to help the individual. Food is one of them, but that is not necessarily the most important for them at the moment. It can be, you know, it can be medical care. It can definitely be the whole mental health or the substance use disorder. And it's really identifying what is their need and being able to provide that information to them.
Yeah.
Sandra, I have a question about the facility itself. How many people can you serve at one time, or maybe in a particular day across lunch and dinner? And then the second question would be, do you have staff that prepares the meals, or is it volunteer led or organized?
So our community meals program, we do have staff that prepare our meals. They are there as early as 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're there till 5:30 in the afternoon or evening preparing meals. We have 3.5 employees preparing the daily meals. And as I mentioned earlier, it's freshly made every single day. And we do accept volunteers. Volunteers are useful to help us not only in the serving, but also behind the scene, the preparation, the cutting, the prepping, and things like that. And also because, you know, a lot of our funds that come through our community meals are either private or grants. we have to provide data, have to provide information, and we do gather some demographic information so that we're able to provide this to our donors and our grant givers. And through this is we collect that demographic, but we have volunteers who also can collect that information at the front desk for us as the individuals are coming in. So we do not turn anyone away. Anyone who needs a meal, we will try our best to provide a meal, even on days that we're closed. Which is another, you know, benefit that we can provide here at SACA is that whether it is a holiday or a snow day, our doors are open, we still are there providing our meals to the community.
Yeah, love it. We had, our producer, Chris, from Cast Ahead, who's fantastic as always, had on the screen, I don't know if we could get that back up, but there was a testimonial that I was able to glance there as you were speaking, and it was something to the fact that it looked like a mom. There we are. I make sure I come every day to pick up food for my son. The fact that we get two warm meals is the best I can do to have food for him for the evening and the next day. You know, I think it's important, and I'll have you, Sandra, maybe expand on this. Largely, the folks sitting at your table on tables, it's not their first choice to be there.
Correct.
They're there because they stick their pride in their back pocket and provide. And they're providing any way that they can. And in this instance, and in this moment, it is to come to SACA. It's not a forever thing. But they have a goal. You touched on that. Meet people where they are, understand their goals. And I would just want to put it out there that, you know, there's a lot of folks that are challenged to set their pride aside and do something different for a different reason outside of coming to a place like SACA for a meal. But there are people that also have to come to SACA for a meal. Can you talk on that about what it's like for the gratefulness that your constituencies have? And maybe some of those stories where they've just had to set that pride aside and get access to the resources you offer.
Absolutely. I mean, pride is particularly for a family and even a male that comes to our facility. You know, we really give it to them because it's a sense of understanding that there is no judgment when you come to SACA, and we will meet you where you are at. We try to provide the resources that we can to ensure that you are successfully meeting your need, whether medically, whether it's mental health. But, you know, a lot of individuals that come kind of that quote message that we have on our website from a mother. We have many thousands of other individuals that indicate if it wasn't for SACA, they wouldn't even have a hot meal, you know, let alone food that they are able to prepare. So that's another thing. We are very culturally sensitive in understanding who are we serving, ensure that the food that we're preparing meets that particular culture. We do serve Latinos, but we have African Americans, we have had Asians, we have older generation, younger generation. You name it. And what we're doing is opening our doors to ensure that individuals who need that meal can obtain that meal and that they are feel welcome to our come to our organization, that they do not feel afraid or be judged, feel that they're going to be judged because they're receiving the meal. At one point or other, someone is going to need a meal. And the kind of what you mentioned, it, Jeff, is not necessarily because they want to, but they have to. And they want to survive. And they want their children to survive. That they, you know, they have to. And it's okay. And we're here to provide that service to them. They just have to be opened to receive it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for some folks that position of having to do something that you don't want, that can make you maybe feel less than, feel like you failed in that moment is a rough thing. And so it's nice to hear that it seems you, your staff, everyone around. I mean, we like what you're doing from our community. It's the third time we've had you on the show. I mean, it really seems to have this air of, hey, we understand you've got a trip up. You're in a moment in this journey of life and we're here to help. That's the way I feel about what you're doing.
Absolutely. And I'll give you a good example. I remember right before COVID, there was a young couple. And they were probably in their mid-20s or so. And at that point, they went through a time in their life where they were homeless. They had no food. The lady was pregnant, and they heard about SACA. I'm not sure how they heard about SACA, but they heard about SACA. And the fact that we were open to anyone coming in and receiving a meal who may need it with, again, no restrictions, no questions asked. During mid-COVID, that couple came back and actually contributed not only with their time, but financially contributed to our
meal
program, because they were so blessed and thankful that if it wasn't for us during that time, they may have not received that meal. Because even if they went to a food pantry, they didn't have a place to go to prepare the meals. So therefore, they decided to come, or not decided, they somehow obtained information of our organization and the services we offer. And they were able to have that meal probably about 2 weeks. And after those 2 weeks, I guess they were able to get back on their feet. And then they actually contributed by donating their time and financially contributed to our community meals program because they were thankful for what they received.
Yeah, that's powerful. I mean, to me, that's the that's one of those benchmarks that when you hear about a charitable organization helping a community or a constituency of people, like I've heard over my years of paying attention to Habitat for Humanity as an example, you know, somebody was able to get into a Habitat home, and then later down the road in their life, they donated a big portion of time or money or materials to the next one. That's just always great to hear things like that. Yeah. Yeah. Your meal amount we had on the screen has gone up. Prior to COVID, 500 a week. Now you're doing about 33% of that a day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We see a lot of individuals, serve a lot of individuals through our community meals program. And as I mentioned prior to going on air, food insecurity as well, it has increases. The cost, of living and the products are very expensive and people cannot afford that. And therefore they can probably be afford to have one meal a day or two meals a day. So if we can supplement even if it's one meal, we're very happy to do so and ensure that the individuals and families have meals. So again, we do Monday through Saturday provide our meals for lunch, dinner, and then Saturdays is only lunch, and our doors are open to everyone and anyone who do not have the resources currently. And as mentioned, it can be something temporary, it can be long term for quite some time. And that's okay. As long as we continue to come together and help out. To be able to not only prepare the meals, to serve the meals, and to be able to provide the resources that we need to our community. That's what SACA is here for.
That's great. Sandra, what are the biggest needs of the community meals program? Can't speak. What are the biggest needs of the community meals program right now?
Financial. Is financially is what we are in need right now. We do have the staffing. We do have, with all our partners, our community partners have the commodities for the food and whatnot. However, the time spent for the staff, the fat staffing time, the overhead and of course the overhead of keeping the facility open, is a need. However, we're thankful and we're blessed, again, for our private sponsors and donors, as well as the grants that we have applied for. The FEMA program as well has helped out, with our program, CAP. I mean, there's many different partners that come together for many different ways and reasons as to be able to ensure that we're getting these meals, out on a daily basis. And we do have a lot of resources that come to us. The financial cost is really, for the overhead is a need because, as I mentioned earlier, we prepare our meals on a daily basis, fresh made every single day. And we start as early as 5 o'clock in the morning. And we need that resource to be able to maintain the staffing pattern, to continue to serve. And as we see the participants increasing, the more individuals we're going to need to ensure that we are properly serving our community.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the cost of the employees, you know, that prepare the meals, but there's also the cost of food as well. Or do you have organizations that donate some food?
Majority of our food is donated or contributed to us by different private sectors in the community, grocery stores, but we also partner up with CAP, Community Action Program, as yep. well as the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank, and we're able to obtain the food from them for us to prepare in our facility. So some of the things we do purchase, for example, there are certain things that we have to purchase that kind of disposable. So anything disposable doesn't necessarily fall under any contribution that individuals provide unless they specifically indicate that. But disposables are very expensive. So that's like the plates to go. If someone comes in on off hours, but our kitchen is still open, preparing meals for the next hour that is ready. You know, we don't want nobody to go hungry. So they knock on our doors and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The meals program already finished. If we still have food left over or we're preparing for the 4 o'clock meal, we'll pack it up and give it to that family for them to eat. So yeah. Disposables are very expensive as well.
Yeah. You shared a couple names, CAP, Central Penn Food Bank. There was another one that I believe we had on the show. Yeah, what I find interesting about our community is the way all of these programs, I mean, even United Way with referencing the 211 number, which again, to put out there, if you needed any kind of services mm-hmm. that our community could provide you, you've fallen on hard times, you need an answer, you have a family member that's struggling, 211 is a great resource through the United Way. But Sandra, my point is, and maybe you could share your view, it seems like Lancaster County and the city and just the community in general, all of the organizations are so connected and so ingrained and seem, from my view, seem to work pretty well together. Have you had experience elsewhere where, you know, you came to this area and saw that or what's been your experience?
My experience has definitely in regards to food insecurity. I think everyone in the Lancaster County works very well together to try to tackle it from different angles. Again, sometimes the rural areas do not necessarily have soup kitchens that are open in the same time of operation where the families may need it, or they may have the pantries open, but families are working and can't attend to obtain a box of food and whatnot. But I think overall, I'm not sure, Ben and Jeff, if you are aware about the Central Food Bank Lancaster Community hunger mapping. And through that mapping that they did, they were able to identify where are the deserts, the food deserts in across the entire county. And what are the closest access to families, depending on where they're coming from, whether it's down Coralville or up in Ephrata. And they were able to identify different gaps. And the gaps predominantly are, even though we're all trying to work together, is the times of operation and the length of time or the distance of where individual it lives and where reside and where they need to be able to go and obtain this. So sometimes even lack of transportation can be an issue for individuals to obtain these resources. So we do have them in the city, and we're blessed to be able to be in the city quadrants where individuals can walk to our facility even if they don't have transportation. But if you live in the outskirts in the county, sometimes it's difficult for families to be able to get to a particular organization or program that provides food.
Yeah.
Sandra, I have a question. What do you wish more people would know about the community meals program that SACA provides? Are there any details that we haven't talked about that you'd like our listeners and watchers to know?
Well, I think it's important for our watchers and our listeners to know that meals is not a luxury for many individuals. It's a need for all of us to survive. And through our community meals program, we try to make sure we're inclusive of everyone and anyone who needs it, no question asked. And I think it's being able to understand that if you cannot provide volunteering time, maybe financially, you can support these organizations. Again, I think volunteering goes a long way. If you are a person who loves the kitchen, who loves to prepare food, you know, there might be an opportunity for you to give an hour here, an hour there. I think it's important for us to be open to the understanding that when we do see individuals out in our community that are homeless, they're not always there because they want to. And they may have had the last meal, what it might have been 24, 48 hours ago, and they haven't had nothing to eat. And if we can support these individuals with ensuring that they have access to food, I think we come, you know, a long way in being able to support that. And then eventually, you know, they'll turn around and help those particular individuals who have donated and contributed to that, to their own well-being. So I think it's important for individuals in the community to understand that SACA and all these other organizations in the Lancaster County do come together. They do partner. The Hunger Free Lancaster Coalition continues to operate to from different perspective, from the faith-based to the CBOs to even the hospitals. We work all together to try to see how we best can meet the needs of our individuals who are homeless and ensure that they have meals.
Yep. Something I was just going to ask a question went right off the top of my head. It was about volunteering. So you said your biggest need in helping right now topically is the financial support, which, you know, there is really not a community organization, volunteer organization that doesn't need that. And so if you're able to donate as one of our fans and watchers and listeners, we'd love to, you know, have inspired you to do so. But Sandra, if somebody just isn't able to do giving financially, but they feel connected to what you do, I'm assuming you'll happily accept people's time to Absolutely. Volunteer. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. Volunteering is great, especially on Saturdays. Saturdays are our most difficult time to be able to have enough volunteers and staffing. On Saturdays, the bulk of individuals who come in is pretty high, and we only have 2 people in our kitchen. So if the more volunteers we can obtain during the weekends or Saturdays, the easier it makes it for us to be able to get out the food quicker and be able to continue to serve the community. But yes, volunteering is as valuable as anyone who contributes financially. Anyone's time is very valuable and is very heartfelt when we give. And then we also have conversation with our individuals who are coming into our community meals. You know, that provides them an opportunity to kind of network, mingle with our clients and see if there's any way they can support them. So there's resources that SACA has, but sometimes, you know, not one organization has all the resources. And through the volunteers who come through our organization, we're able to connect the clients that we serve to other resources that we currently are not providing, or they may have not been aware unless it was because of the volunteers. So we invite faith-based organizations to also, they want to come out and give their time. We're open to receiving them, as well as anyone. We have students from F&M College, Millersville, from different, Thaddeus Stevens, from different locations that come in and provide their volunteer time. And it's just an hour. I mean, that's what you have, 30 minutes. We'll take your volunteering time, you know, and that's priceless. So we definitely would appreciate anyone who want to give their time.
Yeah, love it.
Sandra, I think there was a point or a picture that Chris had on the screen there of the website where it showed the address of the meals facility. Can you tell us where that is and maybe what part of the city it's in?
Absolutely. So we're at 545 Pershing Avenue, which is about 4 blocks or 5 blocks away from downtown Lancaster. The closest that we can kind of pinpoint it is we are on Pershing between Dolphin and Green Street. And we're pretty much 2 blocks down from Tech Central. Many individuals know Tech Central East. We have two campuses, or Tech Central East, where our main facility is about 2 blocks down from Tech Central East, 5 blocks from downtown, probably about 2 or 3 blocks from the, elementary school that is right next to us. The King Elementary School. And we're very close in walking distance from the downtown area, and we welcome everyone or anyone who either want to volunteer, anyone who needs a meal, or anyone who needs any social services to be able to connect with the different resources in our community.
Yeah, love it. So we know if people want to get involved, they can go to the website, they can call. We've had all of that information on the screen. We'll have it in the show notes. If you're listening and you just want to jot it down, the phone number is 717-397-6267. Yeah. You can go to the website and fill out the volunteer form, soccerpa.org. If you want to donate through the website, I'm positive, right, Sandra? There's a button there to do that. Of course, everybody's got the donate button, right? And there's no shame in that game. Everyone knows great organizations need funds to continue. And again, we talk about it often. Your treasure, if you can donate, fantastic. Your time, if you can volunteer, fantastic. In this case, talents, if you can cook up a mean meal, fantastic. Go out on a Saturday and help do that. Love it. You know, one thing that dawns on me as we're wrapping up our time, you know, I think if we all think about those special moments together with friends and family, a lot of them happen around a table and with a meal in front of us. And, you know, maybe take some time, spend some time there on a Saturday, get a new perspective, come together with your neighbor, even though they're not your direct neighbor. And you might be able to impart some knowledge, some wisdom, learn something from them, even though they might not be on the same level as you at the moment. Still human, and we can still learn and appreciate each other and have a really great meal and help serve a good meal. As we wrap up, anything that you've seen that has come out of those really great connections that you could share?
In regards to the people we're serving?
People you're serving, people who've helped volunteer, maybe somebody you're serving has taught a volunteer or a staff member something.
Well, we've had many turnarounds, kind of the one I mentioned to you earlier. The other ones we've had is individuals from the faith-based community. We've been able to partner up with them for them to come in into our facility and have a table. And they sit there and they're able to have a prayer with individuals and teach them that how to pray. So there's many different opportunities, again, with different organizations that are willing to come in and provide their time to educate those who are in who are clients, who are receiving services. But we have had, I would say, within our faith-based community, individuals come in and who have a word of God with the participants. And for those, not for everyone, but for those who are willing to hear. Yep. And there's individuals that have never prayed and don't know how to pray. And they've been taught how to pray. And then they teach our clients and then kind of invite them to their congregation and they start attending. And then they themselves come back to do the same thing that they learn by receiving a MENR community program. And then they give back. So I think that the most blessings that I have been able to see on my own has been that, besides the one couple, has also been the particular client who have received some type of, I would say, word of God, and they've been able to come back and know that, hey, I've learned how to pray. I don't even know how to pray, but I've learned how to pray.
And that's fantastic.
Prayer is very, very small, and it's only you and God, and trusting that, you know, it's just you and God right now. So I think that's been an opportunity. And we've had other individuals who actually have volunteered their time even in the kitchen. Not necessarily preparing the food, but they have helped with dishes. They've helped out with cleaning afterwards. We're taking out the trash. The volunteerism is not only in the preparation and serving. There's a lot of things that come together.
Yep. Got to mop floors and scrub pots.
Indeed. To make sure everything comes out, perfectly on our end, as we're presenting that to the individuals that are receiving our services. We treat everyone the same, and we're very inclusive to ensure that, you know, nothing is different just because you're homeless or food insecure. We're going to treat you just like you are one of us.
Much more than just a hot meal.
Yep. Love it. I love that story of that faith connection, and, you know, not to turn our time specifically that way, because you welcome everybody, as you said, but just what a powerful testament and story to what you're doing there. And it's about that connectiveness, right? That gathering at a table, sharing a meal, amazing things can happen. And I love what you're doing for our community. So thank you. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Should we do our connection cocktail?
Oh my goodness. Yes.
We've got some more questions.
I have eclipse brain. it's affecting my brain paths. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So, Sandra, we've got a few questions to get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
You ready? All right. So, we've talked a lot about Lancaster throughout the episode. How would you describe the Lancaster community if you could describe it in one word? What would that one word be?
That word will be grateful.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Very good. All right. So aside from what you're doing right now, what would be an alternate dream career?
Believe it or not, teaching. I love to teach to middle-aged students.
Okay. Bless your heart.
I was able to do that a little bit through my role here at Saka. In August, I will be 25 years working for Saka, serving That's in different cool. capacities. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the roles that I was able to do is actually go into the school districts and educate youngsters on sexual health. And I really like that. I enjoy that. And actually, since I was a child, I always said I wanted to be a math teacher. So I will go back to teaching.
That's cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for the education you're doing with the children. All right. Always a fun question here. Everybody's got a different opinion on the food that they like. If you're going to a restaurant in Lancaster, where's it going to be and what are you ordering?
Interesting. So I would say Lombardo's.
Okay. Yeah.
And
a little Italian?
Yes, I'm a pasta eater. So okay. Yes, I like pasta. I mean, chicken Alfredo on its own. You got me. Either that or shrimp Alfredo with a little bit of garlic okay. on the side and a little salad on the side. I'm good. A lot of starchy food, but I have the salad on the side.
Yeah, there you go. Very good.
Yeah. Whenever you have the salad separate, it like denotes the bad stuff by half.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Be healthy. Oh. Gotta be healthy.
That's right.
Well, thanks. Thanks for sure.
Sandra, thanks for playing along. Love it. So go check out Lombardo's. Sandra said so. That's where she likes it.
Thank you for having us. And
yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. Say hello to Marlene and to Jose for us. And I guess you have to pass the baton to the next soccer person we'll have on down the road.
Absolutely. It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Enjoy the eclipse.
Yes. Got to put those glasses on.
That's right. Work, though? Pass them through the camera.
There we go.
We'll see you.
Thank you.
See ya.
Yeah. Well, they're doing great stuff. I mean, listen, this is what we do. We bring people that you might not have known about, organizations you might not have been aware of that can help people you might know. You know, we talked in the pre-show with Sandra, just as an example. If you've got a neighbor that's up against a rough time, they're taking care of elderly parents, you can go get a meal for them there. You know, you can take them there. You could get it to go. They will turn no one away. And so it might be hard, but you might also go and meet some really interesting people. You might learn something and make a tremendous connection. So please check out SakaPA.org.
I mean, these organizations really are the lifeblood of Lancaster County, Lancaster City. There's so many organizations like Saka just doing amazing things. They're really the true heroes of Lancaster County.
That's right.
Amazing organizations and amazing people doing wonderful things for people in need.
That's right. Speaking of people helping people,
who's helping people?
I'm helping people with my sleep better tip for them. So Ben and I actually just proofed the whole new suite of pocket guides that you'll be hearing about down the road, I'm sure. You know, and it dawns on me that information is power, and that's my sleep better tip. So it would be very simple just to get the book, and I really mean that. We will mail it to you for free. You go to gardenersmattressandmore.com/sleep-better. Now, here's the thing about the information we produce. And, you know, this new project was largely in my sphere, my lane here at Gardeners, and Ben was very surprised and pleasantly surprised, although not by my grammatical prowess, because that's awful. The comment was that the information is very helpful, unbiased, and we really mean that. And look, the good news is you can put us to the test because it's ink and paper. We'll mail you that copy right there. And then you tell us if you think it's not unbiased and if it's not helpful, because we always want to be helpful. And that's the thing, finding good information. It's why we bring you great people like Sandra and Saka and all the wonderful other guests to help our community. Our information is truly meant to help, meant to serve. And that's my sleep better tip. Get the book, get the information, connect to us. We're here to help you wake up happy, whether that's through what we do or just giving you some great tips. We're here for that. Oh, there it is. There's some high level producing right there.
Digging deep.
So that's a little teaser. It's coming. You'll see it soon.
Very good. Well, you know what? Not only are you helping people with information, you are helping people with a new mattress. Look at this. Tell us what you thought of Jeff G.
What?
So we send out these testimonial forms. And
I sell things around
there? I think you probably worked with a customer within the last few weeks.
It must have been.
When you were in the doctor's office this afternoon, this came in the mail. I opened it up. And this was Susan. Susan said it was an excellent sales approach. It's all good. It's all good.
Okay.
Explanations of differences and no pressure. She thought the sleep book was a plus. Oh. Not making that up. It's right on here. And she's sleeping well. And of her overall experience, Susan shared, I thought this was a prime example of personally directed service and sales, and she will refer others. So,
yep.
Very, well done there.
The big guy still got it.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll hang that one up. Yeah, no, I mean, look, Ben points these out. We know you can't read them, but, you know, we had on our screen 491 five-star reviews. So we're coming up on that 500 number, which is, I guess, fun, right? Like, you know, then you're on to 501 and you're on to the next thing and the next thing. But, you know, we're really honored when our customers take the time, today's day and age, you know, we're all pressed for time. They take the time to fill this out, paper and ink. Yeah, we give them the paper, we give them the envelope, they supply the stamp, they supply the time and their thoughts, and send it back. I mean, we're really honored that our folks do this, and it's just our commitment that we build our brand, we build our company, working with you one interaction at a time. All of these things are great, all those reviews are great, but if we let that one person down, they don't care. They're actually kind of upset because they think, well, what did I do to not get that five-star service?
Right.
So that's our intensity around here. It's always dialed up, right? Push it to 11. Isn't that the quote?
It's from Spinal Tap.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're at. That's what we do here. And we really do take it to heart. And we're always honored when great customers like Susan share. And we're very appreciative of that. So, yeah. Eclipse. I think we're almost at totality here in our region, soon to be.
It looks darker outside. It does.
So go enjoy that. Don't burn your retina, please. Wear your glasses. Look in your cereal box or just kind of side-eye it. But don't look right
don't
at
look
it.
Don't look directly at it.
And all this week long, incredible eclipse. Once in a whatever time frame savings. We've got it going Monday through Friday. We're going to put that out there to our email list and social media and all that good stuff. But you got to hear it first. And that's a benefit of watching Lancaster Connects. Be sure to subscribe, like, follow, share. We'd love all that.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. We'll see you. We're going to go look at the sun.
With glasses.
With glasses. Not staring into it, but check it out. We'll see you next time. Take care.